Acts chapter 9, let's look at verse 32, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass as those days that she was sick and died, and when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. We have been looking at three different men in the last couple chapters. In chapter 8, at the end, we looked at the ministry of Philip. In the beginning of chapter 9 up till now, we've been talking about Saul, or now Paul, who we saw his conversion. In a great way, God converted Saul. He was converted. He was saved, and we thank the Lord for his salvation, because he was one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. We thank you, thank God for his work in the ministry. And then we come again. It turns to Peter and the ministry that Peter had. If we look at all these ministries that God is doing, God is performing through these men, the things that God's performing through these men, the ministry that they're performing, what they're involved in, if we take a good look, and especially in this portion of Scripture, we can see that is a Christ-centered ministry. A Christ-centered ministry. That's what I want to talk about this morning. As we look at Peter's ministry and these two people, there's two people that he's ministering to. There's a Christ-centered ministry. And I want you to understand that if you're part of Temple Baptist Church, we ought to desire about this ministry and about the ministry that you're involved in. Not just the church as a whole, but each individual ministry is a Christ-centered ministry. And if it is a Christ-centered ministry, how does that work? What happens when there's a Christ-centered ministry? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we could spend in your word. Speak to our hearts this morning as we look at the Christ-centered ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we look at verse number 34, Peter said unto them, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Did he say Peter maketh thee whole? No. Did he say from the power that is in me? No. He said Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. If we look down at verse 40, when we're dealing with Dorcas, he's saying, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Now, where was he going? He was going to the Lord, Jesus Christ, in his prayer. Everything he was doing in this portion of Scripture, the miracles that were performed, it was all through the power of Jesus Christ. In fact, this could not happen without Jesus Christ. And may I say, Temple Baptist Church is not here unless it be for Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have a ministry. So, it's only that important that our ministry be Christ-centered. Our ministry be Christ-centered. Let me ask you something. Is the ministry that you're involved in at Temple Baptist Church, is it Christ-centered? Is this church Christ-centered? I believe it must be. For it to be to this point, there had to be ministries that are Christ-centered. We have the school here. The school should be a Christ-centered ministry. We have the missions. The missions ought to be a Christ-centered ministry. We have the master clubs. The master clubs ought to be a Christ-centered ministry. We have the youth department. The youth department ought to be a Christ-centered ministry. We have the nursery. The nursery, even the nursery, ought to be a Christ-centered ministry. Every aspect of this ministry should be Christ-centered. And what does that mean? Here's what that means. It's not my agenda, but it's God's agenda. We have heads of different ministries in this church. We have people that are directing and helping and serving. And we all have to step aside and say, this is not my agenda, but God's agenda that must be done. A Christ-centered ministry. And when that happens, we see a lot of things happen. And this ministry of Peter's was a Christ-centered ministry. He was traveling and coming up the coast. Now, we know that Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 40 was after that he left the Ethiopian eunuch. He found himself on the shore, and as he was traveling through all that cities, a man like Philip, who was a soul winner, must have stopped by these cities and talked to these people about Jesus Christ. These were cities that were steeped in tradition against the Messiah for their own agenda. Wanting their agenda to go forward. And Philip, I believe, was faithful in giving them the gospel. And that led the way here as Peter was going through first Luda and then the Joppa, people getting saved. But we see, first off, the problems. Let's lay out a foundation here. How many of you know people have problems? How many of you are here, you're a person, you have problems? How many of you know somebody sitting near you that, no, don't raise your hand. No. We have problems. There's a problem in our community. There's a problem in our state. There's a problem in America. There's a problem in this world. And say, Pastor Lee, what problem are you talking about? I'm talking about this problem, the lost sinners problem. They're lost without a Savior. That's a problem. That's an issue. And we see a picture of a lost person in Aeneas' life. And if you look there, Aeneas, in verse number 33, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy, paralysis. Paralysis is when you can't move certain parts of your body after something goes wrong with their connection to your brain. It comes in many different forms and can be temporary or permanent or even come and go. Paralysis can cause problems with blood flow, breathing, and how well your organs work, speaking and swallowing, and many other problems that can come along depending on where you're paralyzed and how bad it is. But I believe this man had what's called a complete paralysis. It is when you can't move or control your paralyzed muscle at all. You also might not even be able to feel. And he was in the bed for 8 years with this issue. He could not get out. Now, this is a picture of a lost person, someone who has not accepted Christ as a personal Savior. The harvest is truly white, but laborers are few, the Bible says. There are people just like Aeneas around us. There are problems, the same problem he had. We see a picture of a lost soul here. And there are plenty of people sick of the palsy around us in our community. A Christ-centered ministry presents the gospel to this person instead of telling him to fix his problems. Peter didn't come in there and said, "Oh, I see that you're sick of the palsy. Here's what you do. There's some nice essential oils that you can buy and throw that in the air. And boy, if you breathe those in, that'll really help your paralysis. Well, I know the special rub that you can get off of Amazon. And if you just buy this, and it really worked for me, and it would really help you." Peter didn't speak to the outside. He dealt with it with the power of God. You know, many times we look around our community and we see the lost people, and all we can see is their sin. All we can see from an alcoholic is how they affect the community in a negative way. Boy, if they just stop drinking alcohol. Guess what? Listen, that's what sinners do. They sin. That's what lost sinners do. They sin. And it's not a bad, they don't need to stop drinking alcohol. They need to get saved and have a reason to stop. And if we're going to be a Christ-centered ministry, we're not going to attack the alcoholism first. We're going to attack the heart and see them saved. And then they have a way to attack that disease. A lost sinner. Now what if Peter walked in and said, "Hey, Aeneas, get up, man. Quit faking. Can't you see how I'm walking? Can't you walk like I can walk? I could do it. You could do it." And he didn't do that. "That's Aeneas over there. Look at him. He can't walk like us. And he's got to stay in his bed." And no, he didn't do that either. Pastor Creed, that's cold-hearted. That's irritating. I agree. And that is how a self-centered ministry treats lost people. Peter loved Aeneas because he was involved in a Christ-centered ministry. He loved this man. Then we see dead Dorcas. What is the diagnosis of a Dorcas? Well, she's dead. Doesn't give us much about that, as this is a picture of one who used to be a Christian. We do know that when she was alive, she was used to be on fire for God. She was used to be a wonderful Christian, but when she was alive, she was able to do alms deeds and do great things, and then she came and she died. She died. She experienced death. How many Christians do we know that are away from the Lord now? They were spiritually alive, but now they're spiritually dead. They were on fire for God. They knew the scripture. They knew the memory verses. They knew even how to win somebody else to the Lord. And they were faithful every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. They were faithful, and they wanted to be in church. They want to be around the Christian people, but now they've fallen away. And it's spiritual death to them. We see Dorcas, a wonderful lady, and then a death. I know people like that, don't you? Now they want nothing to do with the church. Now they want nothing to do with Christianity. You see, a Christ-centered ministry reaches both these, the lost sinner and the lost sheep. The lost sinner and the lost sheep. We see when Peter arose and went with them, When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. I know when people leave the ministry, when people, Christians, fall away, boy, that's a sad time for family, isn't it? That's a hard time for Christians, even the church family, to see it breaks our hearts. And many times we get stuck where the widows got stuck. Look what they've been doing. Let me show you where they were. Let me show you all the good works they were doing and how great they were in their Christian life. And we get stuck on that instead of they need help. They need help. What did Peter do? Peter didn't stop and say, hey, look at all these things he did. What did he do? Look at verse 40. But Peter put them all forth. He said, let's put those away. Let's get to business. Let's get down to business. This person needs help. This person needs life. And what did he do? He knelt down and he prayed. And she rose from the dead. It is not our responsibility to brag about the accomplishments of those who are spiritually dead while they were spiritually alive. It's our job to bring them back. It's our job to go get them. It's our job to pray for them. Peter ministered to both, and so should we. The church is made up of a lot of people with needs. A lot of people with problems, but a Christ-centered church are going after the lost sinner and the lost sheep. The Aeneas and the Dorcas. There was a city where people resorted to a favorite well in one of the parks. Someone approached a man one day and he said, Does that well ever run dry? Seems like I've been here a couple days and that water just keeps on coming up and coming up. And does that well ever run dry? The man that he asked was drinking the water out of the well, and as he stopped drinking, he smacked his lips and said, they have never been able to pump it dry yet. They tried it a few years ago. They put the fire engines to work and tried all they could to pump the well dry, but they found that there was a river flowing right under the city. I want to stop and say, thank God for the well of salvation. Thank God for this river right here, the river of truth, the river of life. And there's only one way to reach the lost sinner. There's only one way to reach the lost sheep, and that's by the river of life. The Word of God gives life. The well of salvation and the well of restoration will never run dry because they both come from the river of grace of God that should flow from the local Christ-centered church. Christ-centered church. A Christ-centered church is not full of opinions, it's full of God's Word. Not full of our agendas, but it's full of God's Word. We see the problems here, but I want to show just shortly these positions. First, we saw a man that was dying. A man that had a disease. A man that was a picture of a lost sinner. Luda was a town in a rich plain of Sharon. If you look in the Old Testament, it's spelled L-U-D, Lude. And in Nehemiah, we see that there were some carpenters and some help that came out of this city to help build the wall. A couple times it's mentioned in the Old Testament. But it's only a one day's journey from Jerusalem. And I know we're a little spoiled today. Because a one day's journey is a long time for us. How many would agree? All right? How long, how far is Pensacola? Huh? There goes the whole day. Right? I mean, you take the whole day. How many stops do you make? Only a couple, yeah. I remember going to college and driving down 81. How many of you hate 81 like I do? Yeah, I do. I hate 81. You're just playing leapfrog with all the big wheel trucks, and that's all you're doing. You just came down 81, right? Right on Roanoke. I used to travel from exit 300 all the way down to Knoxville on 81. Of course, it went to 40. I hated that trip. I didn't like it. I had a Caprice Classic, a nice 1992 Caprice Classic, and it felt like a boat. Oh, so put me to sleep. I was supposed to be driving. That took the whole day. 9 hours. We complain about it. Now, back then, a day's journey is not much. It's just a day's journey. No problem. A one-day's journey. Think about that for a second. This is only a couple years removed from the start of the church. Understand that the church just started in Acts chapter 1. Great revival. How many? Thousands of people saved, Johnny. How would you like that kind of Sunday school? We record 8,001 souls saved in the first four chapters of Acts. Amen. Saved and baptized and added to the church. Then we see them scattered and churches are being planted. In the last couple years. But wait a minute. How long was this guy in his bed? 8 years. 8 years. And for the last couple years, it was only a day's journey. Years. It was only one day's journey to reach Emmaus. Thousands of people getting saved just miles away. And he's in his bed waiting, waiting, waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, how many years have you been here? How many Sunday services have you walked through that door? How many times have you walked in this church and worshiped God and thank you for your faithfulness? But I wonder how many people are thirsty for this. How many people are laying in bed right now, dying and on their way to hell? And yes, we get our beautiful clothes on to honor God. We do our hair. We get ready for church, and no thought about them. Just 1 mile away. Just one exit away. Just one house down. Just one room over. Just one seat next to you. Just one desk next to you. And how many times are you going to pass them by without presenting them with the gospel? You see, a Christ-centered ministry looks for them. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 33, Acts chapter 9, verse 33. And a certain man found Peter. No, he didn't. What happened? Who's he? Peter. Found a certain man. Now to find that certain man, Peter was there doing what? Looking. He was looking. Are you looking? If we're a Christ-centered ministry, we ought to be looking. Amen? We ought to be looking. Emmaus only a day's journey away, and it took years to find him. Are you looking? Are you looking? And then we see in Joppa. Does anybody recognize Joppa? Where do you recognize Joppa from? We recognize Joppa from Jonah, don't we? In Jonah chapter 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Joppa. Was Jonah at that time when he was going to Joppa, was he a good representation of Jesus Christ? Or was he running from God? Exactly what we're talking about. A Christian that used to be on fire for God. A preacher that used to preach the word of God and preach, thus saith the Lord. And God spoke to him and he ran away from where God wanted him to go. Where did he go? Joppa. We find ourselves in that same place. And we see a picture of exactly what Jonah was. And here, what is so interesting about these places, that Peter found Aeneas, but Peter was fetched for Dorcas. Now, Peter found Aeneas. He was looking for the sinner, the lost sinner, but he was fetched for the lost sheep. You say, Pastor Creed, what are you saying? Both need help, but many times it will not be the people closest to those in spiritual need and spiritual dead to help them. Pray for God to send someone to help them. How many of you know somebody that's away from the Lord right now? Maybe spiritually dead. How many of you know somebody away from the Lord and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried? And maybe now it's time to say, Lord, it's in your hands. There are people that used to be members of this church that are away from the Lord. Now, I want to stop right here and make sure you know. God sends people, but also God sends people away. And just because someone leaves this church and goes to another church doesn't mean they're away from the Lord. I want you to understand that. Okay? I love this church. I'd love to see as many people that God has for the church here. I want, to tell you the truth, I want everybody in Asheville to attend Temple Baptist Church. But God directs people's paths. And Peter was fetched for Dorcas. So we see there was a problem. We see there was a place. But I want to also look at the plan. What was the plan for the Christ-centered church? Last week we looked at this thought of being committed to multiplication. There's going to be a rerun today in this point. Multiplication. We see salvation and restoration. Our job is not to down people or to belittle others. When someone is lost, they are in a dangerous place. When somebody is away from God, they are in a discouraging state. We are the church, the Christ-centered ministry. You say, what kind of church are we, Pastor Creed? We're the guardrail at the top of the cliff and we're the hospital at the bottom. We're not at the top of the cliff looking at those that have fallen off and said, I told you so. I told you, if you just listen to me. That's not a Christ-centered attitude. But where they're helping them. The plan. I want you to see how Peter treated Dorcas. In verse number 40, but Peter went, put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand. Now listen to this. And lifted her up. What a great principle there. There's some people that need your hand. There's some people that need your help to lift them up, to help them. Our church, people need our church. That was evident yesterday, just knocking doors. that people need Temple Baptist Church. There's a lady that didn't go to our church, but here's what she said. She says, I'm so glad. She says, I'm 94 years old. She was sweeping her front porch. She said, I'm 94 years old, and I'm so glad for a ministry like Temple Baptist Church and Temple Baptist School. She said, I moved here because way back 40, 50 years ago, my child needed a Christian school. Now, she didn't go to Temple. But she says, I believe in a Christ-centered education. There are people that recognize this ministry and what it means to this community because it's a Christ-centered ministry. But we also see we ought to have continued reproduction. What was the end result? Well, Aeneas was healed and he was able to walk. Isn't that great, Pastor Creed? That's great. Well, Tabitha was able to live and she arose from the dead, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yes, it was. But what happened because of it? We see people coming to the Lord. A Christ-centered church will produce fruit because of the root. A Christ-centered church will produce fruit because of the root. When you're dealing with, thank you for the corn today, but when you're dealing with produce, that root is vitally important, isn't it? When you're watering them, they want the where do they eat? Where is that water? It's in the root. And if the root is not right, it will not produce fruit. We must be rooted in the Word of God as a Christ-centered ministry. God's given us His Word, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Guess what? Peter realized that. He was doing exactly what God told him to do. In verse 35 of Acts chapter 9, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. And then we see in verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. That was the plan all along. Praise God for the healing of Aeneas. Praise God for Dorcas coming up, rising from the dead. But thank God for His plan, because there were people there watching and seeing what was going on, and they trusted in Jesus Christ because of the sign gifts that was being performed right there. You say, okay, the sign gifts, Pastor, what are you talking about? The miracles that were being performed was a gift that God was giving Peter, these sign gifts. Now watch this, the sign gifts are not here anymore. I cannot go into the hospital room, Miss Barb, and say, Ed, get up, everything's good. I don't have it. There's no sign gifts anymore. What do we have instead of the sign gifts? That which is perfect. Hold up that word of God that you have with you this morning. Hold it up nice and high. That which is perfect is what we have. God's word. And when they saw the sign, and now we have the sign, many people accepted Christ as their Savior. Why? Pastor Creed, because it's a Christ-centered ministry that Peter was performing. A young man was eager to grow as a Christian, wanted to be the right kind of Christian, and he got on fire for God, wanted to really serve God and do what God wanted him to do, so he took out a piece of paper. And he wrote down the things he would give up. He wrote down the places he would go to minister for God. And boy, did he have a great list. The next service, he took it to the altar and presented it to God, came down with this list. But he didn't have peace. So he went back and he started writing down some more things. Boy, I might have to just give this up and give that up. And maybe God sent me to this place and this street. Oh, this friend I forgot to write down. Now I'm going to have peace. The next service he came down, he set down that piece of paper right on the altar. He'd have peace. He went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, it's front and back. I've given this to the Lord." And the pastor reached in his drawer and handed him a piece of paper and he said, "Try a blank sheet. Try a blank sheet." A Christ-centered church is filled with Christ-centered people who gives God their life as a blank sheet. God, you do what you want to do. And when that happens, we see lost sinners saved. And we see lost sheep revived.